The views expressed in this interview are those of the individuals and do not reflect the official policy or position of the U.S. government, the Department of Defense, the U.S. Navy, or the Naval Postgraduate School. Welcome to the Trident Room, brewer of stout conversation, unfiltered and on tap.
On today's episode, Lieutenant Commander Colleen Wilmington sits down with submarine warfare officers Ensign Ryan Engelhard and Ensign Rachel Schlimmer to discuss their time at the Naval Postgraduate School as part of the Bowman Scholar Program.
Welcome back to the Trident Room podcast. I'm your host, Lieutenant Commander Colleen Wilmington, and today's episode is part of our Academic Arsenal series, and I will be interviewing two of our Bowman Scholars here at NPS. The Bowman Scholarship is a program specifically for the U.S. Naval Academy and for nuclear officers. There are typically 20 to 25 appointments per year, and they had to apply as juniors in preparation for this. And so with me today, I have Ensign Ryan Engelhard and Ensign Rachel Schlimmer. Would you guys introduce yourselves? Tell me where you're from, why you joined the Navy, and why you applied for the scholarship.
Hi, I'm Ensign Ryan Engelhard. I'm from Knott's Island, North Carolina. Pretty small town, but it's right next to Virginia Beach, Virginia. So a bit of a Navy area. And my father was in the Navy. So I've always known growing up that I wanted to join the military, and looking into the service academies in high school, I decided that the Naval Academy was the best option for me. And so applied there, got in, and looked into the Bowman Scholar Program, and now I'm here at NPS.
Hi, I'm Rachel Schlimmer. I'm from Great Falls, Virginia, about 40 minutes outside of DC. And I don't have any Navy family, so I didn't really know much about military service and military life. But I was being recruited for swimming in college, and the Naval Academy is fairly close to my house and fairly close to the speed range that I was being recruited for. And so I got the opportunity to go to the Academy, meet the team, meet midshipmen, and just live a weekend with them. And through that interaction, through talking to them, I kind of realized that the Academy and the Navy was something that I wanted to do with my life, and the opportunities that it could provide is what drew me to join.
So as part of the Bowman Scholarship Program, you guys had to apply as juniors. Can you talk me through what that process entailed?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, it's only for nuclear officers. The first step is to do your nuclear interview in Washington, D.C. So this could be for either submarine officers or nukes woes. And so you do your interview, you have to pass that. And at the same time, you're applying for the Bowman Scholarship. So they decide whether or not you're going to be A, a nuclear officer, and B, a Bowman Scholar. And if you pass that, then you will proceed to do an internship as part of your summer training, which should relate to a year-long research project as part of your senior year at the Academy. So both of us did that, passed the nuke interview, did our research for a year, and now we're here for another year.
Yeah, we both started off doing white papers during our studying for the nuke interview. And so you kind of found an advisor, a professor to advise you through this research, write up a short little white paper of what you're doing in research and why it's important to the Navy. And then you present that during your nuclear interview to the four-star admiral in charge of nuclear reactors. And he asks you some questions of, why is this relevant? Why are you doing this? How do you think it's going to help you be a better officer? And he gives the thumbs up, thumbs down of if you'll be the Bowman Scholar or not. And then from there, yes, you do your research. You also get to take an internship over the summer right after your second class year, your junior year. And that internship will kind of give you guidance of how to do that research and how it's important to the Navy. And then we do our research project, and then we submit it to the board, and then we come here.
So you guys really come in with an idea of maintaining fleet relevance and the importance of doing some of that research and development then. Are you using your white papers and your theses, or are you using completely different topics?
Mine is fairly different. It started off, I did like an Arctic remote sensing research project, just using a lot of data and like MATLAB and processing and just trying to get some ice thickness measurements using satellites in the Arctic. And here I'm doing more undersea acoustics, so it's not exactly similar, but the process of writing an abstract, getting your methods done, your background research, that it really helped to have a smaller research project at the Academy that I could do senior year. It helped a lot transiting to a bigger thesis project for a master's degree.
Yeah, same for me. I didn't continue what I did at the Academy. At the Academy, I was working on kind of similar Arctic, but it was a climate project. And I was looking at climate models and how it would impact the Pituffik Space Force Base up in Greenland. And all that research, that year-long project, really helped to develop that process and realizing how research works and set us up well for here, even though we didn't continue that same exact work.
But even then, like, if you had a year for that white paper, the fact that you guys are completing a thesis in 1 year is just amazing to me. How did you guys go about selecting your thesis and your thesis advisor and finding something that interested you? Like, you mentioned that it's not really what you did for your scholarship application project, but how did you find something here that you wanted to work on?
So similar to the Shoemaker Scholars, we showed up and had to meet with the professors in our department, just talked to different oceanography professors, asked them what they were working on, if they could take on a one-year student, and looked around and saw what interested us. From there, we decided on our own what we would be interested in and just chose a project that we thought we could contribute to and would be helpful to the fleet.
Yeah, I think most of the students here, especially if they're doing six or more quarters, have the luxury of having a couple quarters where they get to know the professors and know what they teach and what they're interested in. And we didn't really have that. We had to go full speed ahead and set up meetings, talk to professors, see what they're interested in. And at least for me, I wanted to find a thesis project that was geared towards acoustics and submarine-focused research. So being able to narrow that down to a couple professors who are working in that field helped me a lot. But it definitely was a big part of what is available in that one-year time frame and what professors have the bandwidth to work with a one-year thesis student.
I've had the honor of being in class with you guys and just absolutely astounded at the level of knowledge that you guys bring to the game, and you guys keep all of us on our toes and make us rise up. So that's a thank you to you guys. I guess since you guys came in as submarine officers, was the USW program the only one that's open to you as the Bowman Scholars, or do you have some luxury in some of the other programs that are offered here at MPS?
We have some wiggle room in the program that we could choose. Not all of the Bowmans are undersea warfare. About a third of us are, but there's others across. They're doing robotics and different things that aren't necessarily undersea warfare. As a personal decision, I thought undersea warfare would gear me best for submarines in the future. And just being able to take acoustics classes, undersea warfare history classes, mine warfare history classes, that just gave me a better broad view of what undersea warfare as a whole is, and going directly into that field, that was what I wanted.
Yeah, there's definitely other Bowmans that are not doing the USW program, but like Rachel said, it seemed very fitting, I guess, to be submarine officer, and they have an undersea warfare program that's tailored to submarine officers. And we were both oceanography students at undergrad. So within the undersea warfare curriculum, you can choose oceanography. So it worked out double that we're submariners studying undersea warfare, and we can continue studying oceanography.
So here at NPS, you guys came straight from your undergrad. You're here. You're surrounded by a lot of mid-career officers. In my opinion, and I think I could argue in the opinion of NPS, that your attendance and your view in the class really keeps fresh ideas on the table and is vital for growth of many of our programs. So how do you, as junior officers, make your voices heard, and are you keeping an eye out for non-community mentors?
So I think it's important to speak up when you have the chance or you're confused on something, because what I've realized while here is that even though we're ensigns surrounded by a bunch of O3s and O4s, we're in the same seats, basically. We're in the same position in terms of not all of us know what's going on in class or something. So if we're confused about something, then there's a good chance that other people are also confused. So you shouldn't be intimidated to ask a question. But also, we have that ensign excuse of if there is something that everybody else seems to know and we don't know, just ask, because you're not expected to know that yet.
That is true. I would probably argue that there is some reluctance on the O4s, myself included, to speak up and say, I don't understand what this is, because we see all of your guys' heads nodding as we go through class. I'm like, oh, is this something we're supposed to know? I've never seen this equation before in my life. But that, I think that's just a testament that not all of us have undergraduates in oceanography. We've never seen a lot of this material because it's not necessarily applicable. Well, I mean, it is applicable, but it's not a forefront out in the fleet. We're using the tools that already have all of these equations in the background, or we have that understanding in the background. And so you guys come in and you already have that understanding of the oceanography. Oh, okay, let's apply it this way. Where did they come from?
Yeah, and on the flip side, sometimes the instructors will talk about TDAs and things from the fleet, and we have no clue what's going on. We're just like...
Especially when we use acronyms.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
It is really interesting to have the opportunity to meet in the middle, though. Yes, we're undergraduates, oceanographies. So we've spent 4 years digging through the equations and the physics and the numbers of how the ocean works. But in reality, we've never used these like models. Our job isn't to know how to be operational in this field. And yet we're surrounded by officers just coming from the fleet who have an expansive knowledge in that field, and just being able to then relate what we know with what they know, it just kind of makes it feel like all the puzzle pieces are falling into place. And it's a really cool learning opportunity that we've gotten.
It's a great collaboration opportunity. Like, you guys getting that understanding, and like I said, that level of knowledge really raises the bar. So take me through like a day-to-day or weekly understanding of being a Bowman Scholar here on campus. Like, are there meetings you go to? Are there additional requirements that you have to hold? Do you have to turn anything back in to the academy, et cetera?
We're completely detached from the academy at this point. We don't really have anything that we'll give back to them that we're producing here in a way. I mean, in a sense, all knowledge kind of cycles back to where it starts. But I think Ryan will agree that our lives here are very different than when we were students at the Naval Academy. And just having a little bit more time, our course loads aren't as heavy as they were in undergrad. And just having the free time to set aside thesis work and finding your own schedule. We have Friday ensign meetings with our cohort that are more professional development focused. So we do get a little bit of that military training in there, but it's nowhere near what undergrad was. And just finding the self-motivation to work on your thesis, to go around to ask for help. Very different pace than it was undergrad. And it leaves a lot of time to figure yourself out as a person too. So getting hobbies, learning how to cook, how to take care of a house, just simple things that we didn't get in college that are vital to surviving as a person. It's been really nice to have the time and the ability here to figure those things out, especially before we go straight into power school and straight into the fleet and hit the ground running on all of that stuff. So I think NPS has been a really good balance of self-restrained academic study and also just inner recognition of what you need as a person outside of that.
Yeah, like Rachel said, we have a pretty light schedule compared to undergrad, but we're not sitting around doing nothing. I would say we'd filled a lot of our time doing stuff, either advancing professionally and trying to like stay up to date with the news, or just health-wise, staying in shape, doing sports, sleeping better, things like that. So it's been a really good opportunity to figure out how to be an adult and do those things outside of military life or school, like paying bills and buying cars and things like that, doing laundry, washing dishes. And you mentioned mentors. So I don't really have any mentors within the USW or oceanography cohort, but outside of that, I've been trying to train to go to submarine dive school. And Rachel's already been there. She's a really good swimmer, as she mentioned. And so I've been working with a lot of engineering duty officers who are here on campus because they have a similar dive school curriculum that they can follow. And so I found a lot of mentorship and community there, even though it's not within my main community in the academic side. So there's definitely a lot of opportunities, whether it's clubs or otherwise, to meet people and make those connections here.
Definitely agree with that. I'm on a master's swim team here because I can't seem to get swimming out of my life yet. And there's actually a couple officers at NPS who are on that swim team too. And I'm going to be able to talk to them in a really relaxed setting and get to know them as people and just work out with them in the morning. That has been really helpful. That's probably the closest I have to direct mentorship here is 04, 05 on the swim team, being able to talk to them about their lives and really get to know them and how their careers have progressed. It's been a really good opportunity to meet them like that and know them outside of an academic environment and outside of a military environment.
That's awesome. As you prepare for the demands in your life to exponentially increase again on the naval side, what do you guys look forward to in joining the fleet? And I don't think either of you mentioned, what platform are you guys trying? When do you actually decide that, and which one are you hoping for?
We'll put in our preferences during prototype, which is the second phase of our nuclear pipeline training. And I know Ryan mentioned it, but at least for me, since I went to dive school and I'm scuba trained, I don't have that much of a choice. I'm contracted to go to a fast attack at this point because they're the only ones who need divers, or a ballistic missile submarine, a GN, but there's mostly fast attacks kind of in that field. So, which is good because that's what I wanted to do anyways. I think the mission of fast attacks is something that I wanted to be a part of. And so I'm excited to hopefully go to one in the future and be a scuba officer on that boat and get involved in that mission.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Fast attacks, I think, have the coolest mission and have really cool opportunities. So cool they usually can't talk about them. So I would definitely like to go to one of those boats. And I think I would prefer to stay on the West Coast. So pretty much any West Coast home port. I'm from the East Coast and I love it there, but I'd like to explore the West Coast a little bit more. And getting to the fleet, I'm just excited to start my job training. There's a bit of FOMO, I guess, from a lot of our friends that are already in Charleston or our SWO friends who are already on their ships. They have their divisions and they're actually doing their jobs already. And it's super exciting to see what they're doing. And I'm just excited to get there as well.
Well, thank you both so much for being candid and talking about your guys' experience here as Bowman Scholars. Is there anything that either of you want to add?
Well, thanks for the opportunity for having us come in here and talk about it. It's been nice.
Yeah, thank you.
I am not their mentor. This has been an episode of the Academic Arsenal. Stay tuned for other students from around campus who want their theses to be advertised.
Thanks for joining us in the Trident Room. For more information about today's guests and topics, please visit the show notes online at nps.edu/Trident Room Podcast. The Trident Room podcast has been brought to you by the Naval Postgraduate School Alumni Association and Foundation. For questions, comments, and suggestions, please email us at TridentRoomPodcastHost@nps.edu.